And welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast, episode 101. My name's Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we're back, Jack. We lied.
It was a clever ruse. I think a lot of people were drawn in by our hoax. We are hucksters, we are shysters, and the podcast, as you know it, shall go on for ad nauseum.
Yep, you're not getting rid of us that easily. And this is a big show.
Yes, yes. So, Rob, what's first on the agenda? What do you got on the docket for us?
Well, we got lots of news. We got that
whole
Dead Zone expansion to talk about, all those pictures. And then we have Ronnie talking about it. It's going to be great.
Yes, secret guest star. Ronnie is going to be on with us, the man himself. So stay tuned.
Well, and we'll get right into it right now.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
We're taking over. Welcome to Rebel Radio with your hosts, Brian and Rick.
No. It's still Dead Zone the podcast.
Let's get the ball rolling. Yeah. So first off, welcome to Dead Zone the podcast.
Welcome to Dead Zone the podcast.
Formerly ran by Rob and Jack.
Woohoo!
Thank you guys for everything that you guys have done.
Yes.
You know, Rob and Jack are actually part of the reason why I got into this whole hobby in the first place.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the whole story of my daughter and getting me into Dead Zone. But when I first was trying to figure out Dead Zone, it was these guys that I found, and I started listening to their episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a big honor for me for them to give the show to us and have us run with it and see what we can do. So Rob and Jack, thank you very much for everything you guys have done for us.
Yes, thank you very much. You guys have been an awesome member of the community, really a driving force in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always great to see you at different events, and it was great when you guys came down to ours.
Oh, it was so awesome when they come to Michigan. I loved having them here.
Yep. So, yes, thank you very much for everything you've done for this community over 7 years.
Yeah.
Seven years.
That's a lot of years to be doing this.
That's a lot of years, and that's an excellent legacy. And so we'll do our best to honor that and carry it forward.
Yeah, we might do a couple things differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely this, everything that we do is because of Rob and Jack.
Yeah. And so with that, why don't we do a little bit of introduction about who we are, because we kind of skipped that part.
Okay.
Much like an actual Dead Zone podcast, we do jump around from time to time.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
So, Rick, introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Rick Hall, Pathfinder from Mantic Games. I've been in the hobby now for 4 years.
I think so.
That's something like that, because we've known each other for 3 years.
Yep.
So then, yeah, four years. I started with Dead Zone when it came to miniatures. Dead Zone was the first miniature game I started actually playing. Since then, I've played a few others. I've been involved in a lot of the Star Saga, the Dreadball, the everything Mantic.
Mm-hmm.
Kings of War. I've played some games with you, Aliens vs. Predator.
Yeah.
I've done some other games. I'm interested in checking out some other games too, like Wild West Exodus that I just learned about. But I always go back to Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Zone's my love. Dead Zone's the reason why I play this game. It's the reason why I do all of this. So how about you, Brian? How'd you get into this?
So yeah, I'm Brian Novak, as you may have heard earlier. Rick is actually the one that got me into Dead Zone. I'm also a Pathfinder now, but I wasn't then. Like you mentioned, we met about 3 years ago.
Actually, right about this time, yeah. At Summit Games.
Because it was November, I believe.
Yep.
And I had grown up playing Warhammer 40K with some friends. You know, I was always really into models and miniatures and stuff like that. And so it was me and a couple of buddies in high school. We'd get together and we'd throw dice at one another. And we really didn't know the rules that well. Because I was the one that had to figure out how to play it.
Oh, okay. So nothing's really changed.
Yeah, nothing's changed. But
so, in high school, did you have a shop around?
I had, there was one shop, but it wasn't big enough to play. So it was kind of like my go-to to see, like, you know, what miniatures and stuff are in. And basically, like, I went to a shop and they had a 40K display.
Well, of course, they all do, don't they?
Yes, yeah. But I'm talking like this, and this is circa 90s.
Okay.
So it was before everything went super plastic and customizable. It was It was metal torsos for your Space Marines and then plastic arms.
Oh, okay.
So it was a while ago.
A lot's changed since then.
And for better or worse, as some might say, but mostly for the better, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And so with that, when I got into college, kind of fell out of it just because there wasn't as many people that I knew around me that were interested in playing. So a lot of stuff sat on the shelf for a while. And then
I know where this is going.
Lo and behold, I just randomly decided, like, oh, you know, I want to get out and play some more games. I've been sitting in this community for like a year and living a little bit like a hermit. And it's like, I want to get out there and see what's going on. There was a game day at a local comic shop. And I just happened to stop in. It was like the first time I went to any of these. And there I meet this guy.
If I remember right, that table, I was like set, like right as soon as you go in the door.
You were like right like next to the door.
I was so nervous. I was so nervous because I'd never done a demo before.
Yeah. And and we had, it was Forge Fathers and Enforcers.
Yep, Forge Fathers and Enforcers.
And you had the little demo set up. I think we only played one game.
We played one game, and we talked.
And we sat and talked for like a good...
It was another hour plus.
It was probably another hour. Yeah. So not much has changed, really. We got...
It's pretty much how we play, isn't it?
One game in, and then the only thing that's changed is how long that after-game conversations last.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, playing the game, I loved the mechanics of it. I thought it had a very elegant design. And got rid of a lot of things that always slowed these kind of mini games down, in my opinion, of like, okay, I got to measure distance. I got to do this, that, and that. The three dice test was just really quick, moved at a great clip. And I just really liked the aesthetic when it came down to it. And so, like, I think the rest, as they say,
is history. I mean, so from that day forth, I mean... We were playing like almost once a week.
Something like that.
And then I'd do a demo here or there and you'd come and you'd help.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like, you've always been a Pathfinder. I mean, since the second demo, you were a Pathfinder then. You helped me out with so much.
Mm.
And then like the first Adepticon we went to.
Mm.
You're not a Pathfinder, but you were helping us in every aspect of that convention upstairs.
It's just fun.
It was a blast.
So that's, as they say, how I arrived at the party. So I'm a huge fan of Dead Zone. I love Dreadball as well. It is always a close race.
It's growing
for
me.
It's growing on me.
Dreadball. It's growing on me.
The sci-fi is definitely more my speed. I do like the fantasy games that Mantis put out. They're also really fun and elegant in their design.
Simple rule systems.
Mm-hmm. Clean and cut. You know, the ability to proxy, I think, has been a great boon for it in a way.
Yeah, it's helped bring a lot of people in because they already had those models. Mm-hmm. And we do that with Dead Zone, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down at the store and somebody wants to play, but all they have is Space Marines. Cool, you got Enforcers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the Enforcer models are cooler, but
the barrier to entry, I think, is lowered in a great way, and it lets, you know, people try out different things as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, that's us.
So Rob and Jack graciously gave us Dead Zone the podcast, and I guess it's like, let's see what we can do with it, right? So I think what we're going to do real quick, we're going to take a quick break.
Yep.
And then when we come back, we'll talk about what we want to do with the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Sounds good. So, welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. Oh, that was such a long break.
I need to get rid of this chair.
Yep, so we'll see about improving our studio setup over time. This is kind of the first time.
Well, and we're in the MMC bunker, yes. Which happens to be my basement, so we're working on it.
Yes.
We'll definitely make things a little bit better as we go.
But we did want to try and keep that monthly
yes.
Output, so we didn't want to miss a month. So
and it happens to be October.
It happens to be October. So let's, Rick, you want to run people through kind of what we're planning as far as an episode layout?
Okay, sure. So what we want to do is... So, obviously, for myself, Dead Zone is my number one game. It's my favorite part, right? But there's so much more in the sci-fi version of Mantic with the Warpath universe. So, what we've decided to focus on is we're going to do, as always, we're always going to have Dead Zone in this. Whether we're doing Model of the Month, Leader of the Month, maybe Faction of the Month. But we'll always have a piece about Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to break it up versus some other podcasts out there, you know, because everybody does hobbies. So we're going to have our hobby section.
Mm-hmm.
So after the hobby section, we're going to actually jump into Dreadball.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make you happy.
Yes. Always.
Because Dreadball is actually a big part of the community as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it deserves some communication.
Yeah, and it is one that I think people that are interested in this universe, as it were, could benefit a lot from a storytelling standpoint and just kind of being more immersed into this world space.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing like the whole idea of, okay, so your revs happen to find out about some outpost and you're on your way there, but it's going to take you a month. So what are you going to do in the downtime?
We're gonna
cargo of your ship.
We're gonna watch some Dreadball.
There you go. We're gonna play it.
Yeah.
So then, after we do a little piece about Dreadball, actually, we're gonna start talking about Star Saga.
Yeah.
I love Star Saga. It's a fun dungeon crawl in space. You're the mercs. I like that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Everything's always going wrong.
Everything's going wrong when you're playing.
Yeah. Well, that's
because there's never anything in a box.
No. They're always empty. I roll and it's empty. You know,
yeah.
That's what it is.
And so one of those parts that we're actually going to do about the Star Saga. So we have no idea how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
We are going to create our own characters and we're going to run through the Ares contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we will give you guys updates on that. And if it plays out right, we might have highlights, audio highlights from it. And then after that, we'll probably get out some shout outs because, you know, that actually that was one of my favorite parts about Rob and Jack.
Mm.
They would do the community shout outs.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was somebody that made something 3D,
mm-hmm.
But it was for Dead Zone.
Right.
Sometimes it was somebody's artwork, their modified monsters for Dead Zone. I absolutely love that because then I wouldn't go find it and look at it and try and create something like that myself. It always gave me great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think we'll close with that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we'll have a closing, but again, we don't have an opening yet either.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll figure that out.
We'll be figuring that. So there'll be some slight changes, but yeah, I do like, with this kind of, as we saw with the escalation expansion for Dead Zone, we saw a big expansion as well from just Dead Zone to incorporating things from Star Saga and Dreadball as a matter of fact.
Unfortunate to some people.
To some people's chagrin. But it's really neat how they have been making even those small gestures to incorporate all these games into one setting of some kind.
Just for the record, it sounds like there's a Teraton upstairs.
There might be a Teraton upstairs having trouble teleporting.
Go home, Rebs, you're drunk. that integration. I mean, so you have Outbreak when Outbreak came out,
mm-hmm.
Which introduced you to somebody. I think the Teraton might be hungry.
Yes.
Very hungry. It's possible.
Very hungry.
That's all right. Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Talking about Outbreak. How Star Saga
Star Saga was brought into Dead Zone, so you had the Maison Labs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then you jump forward another year, and you have Escalation. Well, they increased.
Well, the Nameless as well.
Yeah, the Nameless.
Yeah.
Which, you have Nameless, you have Maison Labs, all have figures from Star Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And with Escalation, everybody's got stuff from Dreadball, too.
Yes.
So, Brian, what's your... here's a tough one. What's your favorite faction in Dead Zone?
That's so difficult to say. Rebs,
you're drunk!
if anyone is active on the Dead Zone Fanatics Facebook page, you may occasionally see me going, "Woo, go Rebs!
Go home, Rebs, you're drunk."
To which Rick always playfully replies, as some people didn't figure out immediately.
Yeah.
But, so I think Rebs was my first faction that I was really drawn to. I just loved how many different alien species kind of existed in it. And they were all united towards this, breaking away from the oppression of everything.
You know how the Rebs came about, right?
I'm familiar, but I imagine you want to educate our audience here.
Well, no, I'm just telling you that. So, I mean, the Rebs were slaves across the spheres, and the Marauders were the ones that actually created the Rebs. Just so you know.
Oh yeah.
It's because of the Marauders that the Rebs even exist.
Yeah, we don't discriminate. Marauders are welcome to join our rebellion whenever they feel like it.
You don't pay enough.
But, so, Rick, equally difficult question. What is your favorite faction?
So, that's really tough. I make jokes about your Rebs, but I enjoy the Rebs too. There's not a faction that I haven't disliked.
Mm-hmm.
I have played a ton of Marauders, Plagues, and Enforcers, to the point where I think they're being retired. I think I might go Maison Labs.
Yeah.
I really like the whole... I like the fact that I will have my Star Saga game on my Dead Zone board. I really like the integration there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I'm humans, but I also have an aberration behind me.
Yeah.
Or... a data storage unit. I like that about the Maison Labs.
Yeah.
So I'd say Maison Labs.
Okay. I am also looking to branch out. It's always that thing where during tournaments, I need to make sure that the Rebs are represented because, they have to be there. It just wouldn't be Dead Zone without the Rebs. But I have looking into, I've got a GCPS faction that I've got put together. We'll probably share pictures of our forces throughout the life of the show here. And but I actually have been working on building up a Marauders force.
Is that really that much of a stretch, though?
It's not a Rebs huge to Marauders. Stretch. It's not a huge stretch, but I've never...
No, you've never played me with them.
Well, I never played you with them, but I was going to say, I've never liked the Space Orc aesthetic.
Oh, sure.
And the story behind the kind of crazy barbarians. So the Dead Zone Marauders,
they're smart.
They're wicked smart, but everyone thinks that they're stupid, which I love. I just love the fact that they're always underestimated, that they think they're just these brutes. And all the while, they're just sitting there plotting how they can double cross you
and kill everybody.
And make away with the goods. So... Marauders is probably going to be the faction I look into next.
So we're going to be seeing some Maison Labs versus Marauders, huh?
I think so. That'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start small.
Start small.
Maybe we'll do a little Escalation League of our own.
Oh, yeah.
Marauders versus Maison Labs starting at 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun ride. But, So... with that, we kind of mentioned earlier, so that's kind of a little bit on Dead Zone.
Yep.
So we'll be back in the next section here to talk a little bit about the hobby it's time in the community.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So, hobby time.
Yes.
In the community. So this was, I said it before, this was one of my favorite parts about Rob and Jack when they did this, is the shouting out community involvement in what people have done.
Oh, yeah.
So I was zipping through the Dead Zone Fanatics page. Andy. Love his Forge Fodder model he put out there. Mm-hmm. The highlights he put on him. I love the color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
He did like, it's like that, it's almost like a camo green.
Yeah.
But this nice like contrast with the red gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the way it looked. And of course the that cracked earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that I saw that it really jumped out to me. Anything that jumped out to you on there?
Well, speaking of Rebs,
here we go again.
Matt had posted a Rin Nomad that he had put together. And that thing looks
sweet. Super clean lines.
Super clean.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a couple of those models. They're a little tricky to put together.
Are they? I have one. I haven't put mine together.
Because like all four of those arms are different things. So it's like some sit, there's the first two that sit in your shoulder area. And then the other two that have, like, the pistols, like, stick into the shoulder blades in the back. But, like, not only did he manage to create a pretty awesome pose, but, like, the paint job he did on it was really sweet.
And he did the actual face, not the one with the mask.
Oh, yeah.
Either.
Yep.
It was really cool seeing that face like that.
Mm-hmm. I especially like the styling that he did on the blades has kind of a warpy kind of effect to it. It wasn't just a clean, you know, silver blade. It was some with a little bit of energy and force going on there. Plus, I just love the Rin design. I don't know about you. I think
I like the Rin too.
The guys running around with four arms just going pew 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 is great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm glad that they're getting more models for that. Apart from that original mercenary, which was fun, but again, it was kind of tricky to put together. I only have a couple, but I really like what Matt did as far as how he set his up.
Oh yeah, definitely. So also zipping through the Dreadball Fanatic site.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what they got going on there with the 3v3 game?
Yeah. So with Dreadball, some of our friends over at Bread Doll.
Oh yeah.
Jeff Burbage and Lee Montgomery and Andrew, I can't ever pronounce your last name, so Crazy Andrew is
Crazy
fine.
Andrew, that works.
Those guys and more, like, there's a great community there. They're fantastic at the game itself, as well as really creative when it comes to playing and new ideas for it.
Lee's got some great strategies.
Oh, yeah.
I played some sports when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And of course my daughter plays volleyball now, but like, he's like intense and very specific. Like, you do this and this strategy works.
They come with jerseys. It's great.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so they have a 3-player versus 3-player Dreadball match, which is
it's
a condensed mat. So the whole idea being it's like a backyard kind of gridiron type setup where it's just two strike zones, I believe. You got 3 players on the pitch at a given time, as opposed to the six
normal. Sure, unless you're a Z and you have like 30.
But yeah, so it's looks like a little design that they'd come up with and had been playing around with to try out, and definitely go check that out. They're very active on the Dreadball Fanatics Facebook page, but they also have their own WordPress site, Bread Doll.
Okay.
At
and definitely, as soon as we figure it out, guys, we'll definitely put the link yes. in our podcast as
we
well.
We will, as always, put the links in the show notes.
Yeah.
When we figure that out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. We're getting the
recording part down.
Yep.
So what else you got going on in Dreadball?
So recently we, just in this area here, we actually started up our own Dreadball League for the MMC.
We did. Where did we do that at?
We did that at the Michigan GT here in Lansing, Michigan, which was a fun time. Like it was
a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was great. There's a huge gaming community that came out to this event. It was one of those things where it was like in our backyard and we didn't really know much about
it. Yeah, right? Got to sleep in my own bed that night.
Yeah, it's always fun when you're going to an event. But yeah, so we're starting off small, just to kind of get our feet under us as far as how to run a Dreadball League.
Yeah.
I've done the League in a Night / Day, I think, 3 times total now. So
Adepticon, and then once here with once League here. Came
yep.
over, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I've done it a couple times. But this is the first kind of long form one that we're going to try out.
And there's 4 of us.
So we did our first games, our first matchups, and I think both of us lost.
we both lost. Oh, and check this out. Brian, what are you playing in the league?
Oh, it just so happens that I am playing the Rebs, the unincorporated.
Go home, Rebs, you're drunk.
But it's fun is that there are a whole bunch of extra races that are not
that's true
in Dead Zone yet.
Yet.
I can't wait till the official... like weapons team platform is one of these guys running around.
And then we have one player playing the Marauders.
Yep.
I am bringing the Zors.
Yep, the Zors.
The Zors. And I like them. They're cool looking.
And then our fourth player is playing the Yindage.
The Yindage.
Who were a new team that came out with the second edition for Dreadball.
Yep.
So it was a blast to play it there. We're getting the hang of how we level up and whatnot, and so we're gonna keep on going to the next couple matchups we got lined up already.
I think our next matchup is me and you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, at least one of us will get a victory.
Yes, that's how Brian. It should go. But the big thing is you want to keep your players, getting them experienced, and keep them alive. Because it stinks when you get 2 major injuries during a game, the first game, and your team captain is down a speed. And so with Dreadball Leagues, like they're really fun. The big thing is keeping your guys alive. Like I was saying, when my team captain got knocked out.
At least you started with a team captain. I wasn't so smart. I didn't bring one.
Well, that's like Rebs are a really crazy team in Dreadball, which I won't go into here. That can be that can almost be an episode of its own. But like a big thing was I'm most effective if I have a team captain on the field, and he got taken out like pretty early on. I was playing against the Marauders to the new player, just crushed
brand
him.
New to Dreadball.
Yep. So, and then he's a jack, and he lost his speed stat went down.
Ouch.
Yeah, so he's rolling 5s. But, so, like, those kind of things really, that's what I like about league play, is that extra kind of flavor and context comes in, where you are a bit more conscious about, okay, this is the guy that's really good at X. I want him to do really well. Also, I want him to stay alive. And then, you know, usually it's after game 1 that you actually find out the names of all your players. So.
Well, yeah. Mine are the Zords. I don't know what to name them.
Drone 1. Drone 1, 2.
Drone 2.
Drone A.
Drone 35. You know, it's funny because...
Just number them like the Monarch in Venture Brothers.
Oh,
number 25.
So we're doing this league play. So we've done a couple other things like this.
Yeah.
We did a Dead Zone campaign.
We did the Dead Zone campaign.
And I believe you had a lot of deaths in that, too.
Yes, I did.
Playing against somebody.
Yeah. Round 1 knockout. That was rough.
But
for the Rebs.
But you have that that campaign part of all of these games. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Star Saga, I mean, it's a board game, so it's the whole story. Mm-hmm. But Dead Zone has it. Dreadball has the leagues. Mm-hmm. Vanguard has it. Vanguard We're actually doing a little bit with Vanguard as well. But mm-hmm. then you also have, like, Kings of War has a whole mm-hmm. story mode part that you can do it to. That's a real fun part of the game that I don't think gets enough emphasis.
Yeah, I think... different aspects, like some of these games excel at it a lot better than others.
Yeah.
Probably, but in even to the extent of like playing like a Vanguard campaign can be a hugely different experience and arguably a bit more fulfilling.
Yes.
Than just kind of a one-off. Okay, we're gonna play Vanguard. When you start playing it as
in Vanguard, you gotta keep track of how much food you have.
Yeah.
To keep your guys alive. That's completely different than anything else I've played. I love that aspect of it. I mean, Dead Zone had the same thing too, but the exploration part, because you can come up with such a story in your own head to what your guys are doing when, we found this abandoned weapon stash. Mm-hmm. Sweet!
And hopefully, I'd be really excited if they get like a re-release of the other expansions like Infestation and Nexus Psi.
Oh, that would be fun.
Even if they're just like re-released on PDF, because they had some really fun and cool campaigns worked into them.
Yeah, I loved the single player.
The single player
with the zombies. I went through it a lot. I didn't win very much.
It's tough to play against zombies.
It is.
Artificial stupid.
It might be artificial stupid, but it gets tough.
Yeah. But that'll be something that I think we'll probably talk about on a regular basis, is just the things you can do in a campaign or a league or anything like that.
Or anything you want to do with any of these games.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you also look at, I can't remember what it's called, but Rob and Jack did this whole rule system, which we definitely need to look into, because I want some vehicles on our Dead Zone mats.
Yes.
I think I love using the Warpath vehicles as scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's they something else we can sweet. Talk. I love seeing the cockpits open in this. I mean, you actually have to get to something, and having that jet sitting there makes it shows more on the board.
Mm-hmm.
But they put up a rule system for vehicles, so we're gonna have to go back and visit it.
Yes,
we'll dive into that, and we'll get in contact with Rob and Jack, and we'll figure out. We'll have some fun with that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, especially now that they have specific missions for the multi-mat.
Oh yeah, playing those missions. Big mats.
Big mat missions. They're going to be a blast. And so with that, speaking of campaigns, I think that's a good segue into our Star Saga section.
Title?
Yep.
Merc what? Misadventures.
Merc Misadventures is our working title for this Star Saga project that we're gonna take up.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun thing.
We're gonna create our own characters.
We're gonna create our own characters.
We're gonna name them.
Yep.
I think we should make ourselves some custom minis.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
And make ourselves out to be our characters. Yes. And then we're going to take these two characters through the Ares contract. I can't promise you we'll succeed.
Yeah.
But it should be fun.
It should. If nothing else, it should be fun to watch.
Wow.
There's a movie quote for you.
Yeah. But there's something in the box.
Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully it's not ahead. We'll be creating our own characters. We're just gonna see about going through the alias contract. It was just two mercs against the world.
Yeah, two mercs against the world.
That should be we can do this. We just have to believe in each other
and not Blaine.
Don't believe Blaine. Guy gets our credentials wrong all the time. I think he does it on purpose.
I I think he has the map of the layout.
Oh, yeah.
And just doesn't feel like sharing it, or like we'll share the wrong part.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
I think he does it on purpose.
Probably. But yeah, so we're going to start with the Elias contract. Awesome. And kind of work our way through that. That's the one where we're going through investigating the Maison Labs.
Yeah, that's the base game.
It's the premier.
That's the base game where you get everything you need to play the game, and you get a whole faction for Dead Zone.
Oh yeah, it's a fun time. It has some great like sci-fi scenery.
Yeah.
To spruce up your gaming table. But we also like have a lot of the other expansions are in their. On their way out.
Yep.
Just recently, the Retake Black Star expansion pack had been released.
Has hit the website, yeah.
Yep, it's available on the website.
That has the new Volt Chasers.
Yes.
For Escalation. Those guys are awesome.
So it's the new Veerman faction.
Yep.
Sub-faction.
It's Veerman with armor, man. How can you go wrong?
They're pretty cool looking, I gotta say.
I love them.
And the scenario, I know we're gonna planning to do a couple of highlights for some of these different campaigns.
Yeah, definitely.
Because like that's one of the fun things about Star Saga from my perspective is that expansion and explosion of the lore.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because we're gonna be getting to delve into, you know, the Maison Labs. What are they up to? Oh, we've got to go check out this Black Star space station. What's going on over there?
So I think what we should do is after we successfully get through the contract.
Successfully get
yep,
through.
Successfully.
There's some air quotes going on there.
I think we should hook up with Rob and Jack and create stats for Dead Zone for our two mercs.
Yes.
And play Maison Labs versus Marauders using our mercs against each other.
That would be a fun time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what I love is that all these things are connected. You can play a Dead Zone game that leads into a Star Saga mission.
Yep.
I mean, that's just brilliant.
Oh, yeah, and you could be rescuing a coaching assistant.
Oh, no, my Dreadball team's been arrested. I better hire some Marauder mercenaries to go in and get them out so that they can make it to the...
Rescue my team. Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So they can make it to the game on time. So it's like... I love that about this universe is that it's still... like a lot of it is still growing and kind of coming
it's
to fruition.
It's still growing, and you have the like Dead Zone has its own universe.
Yes,
Dreadball has its own universe.
Mm-hmm.
Star Saga has its own universe, but you can intermingle them.
Oh yeah.
And Mantic has done a great job on giving us the tools to do that.
Yes.
So one of the big things with Star Saga is we have the character creation,
mm-hmm.
which also gives you the ability to create your own missions.
Yes.
One of the things that I would love to come out of our podcast, of us taking over this podcast, is actually seeing some fan-created
mm-hmm.
custom missions.
Yeah.
If you make them, I'll play them.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Now, try and go easy on me. I'm not very good at these games.
Yeah. Make it a friendly nexus, please.
Friendly nexus. Yes, that would be perfect. I would love to see some of that.
Oh, yeah.
Same or here. Even some custom missions for Dead Zone.
Custom missions for Dead Zone? Yeah.
You guys create them. Shoot them into us. We'll play them. We'll see what happens.
I love the idea of a whole campaign that bridges all three games into some kind of crazy contraption.
Oh, that's insane.
Right? Right? Audience? Do it.
Do it.
But we'll work that together. But yeah, so... just to kind of highlight some of the other expansions in case people didn't know, there was Terror in the Deep.
Yep.
Which was the Nameless. Kind of launch, both for their faction in Dead Zone as well as
the expansion
in Star Saga, which added a couple of extra missions there as well. They had the Goliath like special expansion.
So
he's so big, he doesn't fit in a cube. He's no, easily like size 5.
Yeah.
We'll see if that ever
changes. Probably not.
But as of this recording, the Devil's Betrayal expansion
is live on the website. Yep,
should be coming out pretty soon.
Check that
soon,
just before we started recording.
Oh, it just
I checked it before we started recording, so I didn't go through and buy it.
Sure. But
I checked it, and it is on the website.
It's literally on the website? Oh, okay. So, hey, audience, you're in luck. The Devil's Betrayal is on the website. So, if you ever wanted to expand your Rebs forces at all, or are intrigued...
Or your graveyard.
At the idea of mercenaries infiltrating a Rebel base...
Yeah.
That is...
I really like that idea.
I can't wait to play that one.
So as much grief as I've given you, as much go revs, it's all been fun, but all of a sudden we have an expansion that's an actual mission of breaking into a Reb base.
Right.
So it's not the enforcers doing it. It's not the DCPS doing it. No, it's these two wacky mercs.
These two mercs.
Well, we gotta get through Ares contract first. But
yeah. Yeah, if we go through them in chronological order, somehow our
we're
two guys...
We're going to die to an aberration. You know that, right?
Well, no. We will cut to a commercial and tune in
Please
next
stand
week.
By.
And then we're back from the commercial. Oh, wow, that was a close call. So,
didn't see that one coming.
We'll see how the dice treat us in some of these games here. But yeah, so that's something that we're looking forward to. I think it'll be a fun little thing.
Yeah, I think so.
For the show, it gives us an extra little flavor for kind of what's going on in Star Saga. Give that game some love because it is a lot of fun, and it's a great if you're tired of for whatever reason playing a sport game or playing Dead Zone, a mini game.
Tired of playing that one.
Star Saga is a really fun
one
to check out.
It's a great game to throw down. I mean, really, if you have it set up, if you have it someplace where you can play, it's not on the kitchen table, you can leave the game and keep going back to it. I like that aspect of dungeon crawls.
Yeah.
I like the fact that there's a leveling system, which means that our two crazy mercs might actually be able to do something.
Or they're perpetually level one. That goes well for a campaign that escalates every time you go to a new mission.
We'll see what happens with our adventure.
And you guys can let us know what you think about it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to get feedback from the community. As well as on the Fanatic pages, as well as on Dead Zone, the podcast proper.
Until we get as fluent as Rob and Jack when it comes to saying Dead Zone, the podcast on Instagram,
and
on
Twitter,
Facebook, on Twitter. Yeah, we're out there.
Yep.
We'll throw a whole bunch of links.
They set up all this great stuff, so we're getting a handle on it, but they've done a lot of this great legwork for us, so we definitely appreciate that. But yeah, so we'll get the hint of like, oh yeah, check us out on all these things. So that covers kind of the both the scope of what we're looking to do with the show, as well as kind of give you a taste of what each of those sections and us.
If you haven't met us before.
If you haven't met us before.
This is what we're like all the time.
Yeah. And if you're in the Michigan area.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're in the Michigan area, you have the MMC. Michigan Mandate Community on Facebook. That's one of a couple different Facebook groups, actually, that are in Michigan.
Yeah.
That are based with Mantic Games.
Yeah.
Most of the other ones are all Kings of War based.
Mm-hmm.
I know Josh and Nick and Michael and Eric, and they have... their Kings of War Facebook group. They do a lot of stuff in the MMC too, but they're mostly Kings of War players.
Sure.
But there's some others starting to pop up. I've noticed, like, if you go on Facebook and you start looking through groups, Shane's got a group down in Texas.
Right.
I've been on his group for a while. They throw some amazing stuff up there.
Oh, yeah. Shane does an awesome job.
Yeah. Jack has started to throw some stuff up there. I love seeing that stuff. And we'll definitely talk more about that kind of stuff as well. Because I think the community part is really my favorite part of all of this. This whole experience from the minute I met you to I just hit the table. I'm not supposed to hit the table. Don't hit the table. the community. Going to Adeptcon.
Yeah.
Meeting Rob and Jack in person. That was awesome.
Yes.
Like, I felt like such a fanboy because I had my little dice box and I got everybody to sign
it. You got so many signatures on that thing.
I'm still going too.
Still going.
But yeah, meeting Coach, Family of Gamer 777.
Mm-hmm. Other friend of the show?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully they all stay hopefully friends with
us. They're still friends with us. We'll see by the end.
But yeah, I think the community part of it is why we're going to continue this.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rob and Jack did such a great job with Dead Zone Podcast and creating that. We want to continue that legacy with Season 2.
Season 2.
Episode 1.
Yeah.
Coming to a close. And I promise at some point we will actually have a closing
we'll have to go along
with that opening.
Yep, we'll have a nice little intro, a nice little outro. This is...
Some commercial breaks. Actual commercial breaks.
Yep. With some other friends of the show.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Make sure you follow us on all of the social media outlets.
The Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram.
Podbean. Yeah, you can listen to us on Podbean. We definitely need to narrow that down.
we're gonna work on this script here.
We'll put
the links in the show notes. We'll finish it in post. As they say in the movies.
All right. Thank you for listening, guys. Brian, have a good night.
Rick, you as well.